Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Monday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. NASDAQ futures stealing some love from the broader markets as we set up for a big stack of news this week. Powell on the Hill, a jobs number, State of the Union, some sell-side conferences. Our roadmap begins with stocks in this ongoing AI-fueled rally. B of A ups its target for the year. NVIDIA now the world's third most valuable company. And the NASDAQ looking to build on fresh records.
Plus, as usual, we're keeping an eye on shares of Apple. They're pulling back after a nearly $2 billion EU fine, while two new notes say, hey, don't worry. They suggest an Apple comeback, perhaps, likely. As for Tesla, well, its China struggles continue, shipments plunging to the lowest level in more than a year.
Let's begin with the markets entering a new week with record highs, fueled once again, Jim, by AI, which seems to be the topic of so many weekend notes last couple of days.
Oh, my, Carl. I mean, just a lot of people want to say that the whole thing's gotten out of control. But let's say you go back a year and you looked at what NVIDIA ended up is going to be the estimate for 2024. The stock was selling at 12 times earnings a year ago. So we can sit here and bemoan how expensive it was, but it's by far the cheapest in the Mag 7. Or Mag 6, if you want to drop,
right,
get to Musk. And I think that the problem has always been that when you look back, this thing is so underestimated in terms of what it can make that you don't know how to value it. What are you going to do, take it to 9 times earnings? Like it's a bad bank?
Jim, my weekend was characterized by conversations with people who are seemingly involved in the endless construction of data centers.
So you were with losers. That's okay. I was with winners. I was with my kids. You were with losers.
Well, I did spend family time, but I'm talking about a meeting on Friday. So that was a work day. A large real estate investor. Data centers.
Right.
Somebody involved in the deal world, in particular on the financing side, and advising on those transactions. Financing for data centers.
Now, at least it wasn't private credit.
Somebody more in the political realm to a certain extent who's getting incomings from various countries about building
data centers. Okay, so I'm going to tell you.
Because they have access to power that is renewable and
right,
and
well,
stable.
You have to have cheapest power. But right. I'm going to give you the current zeitgeist, Carl. It's Equinix versus Equinox. Equinox is GLP-1 and Equinix is data center. Right. There, that's all you need to know. See,
but these data centers, which are being built at a rapid rate and trying to obviously meet what is seen to be the future demand for generative AI and all the processes that need to take place, that only points to one thing for NVIDIA, doesn't it? Which is more and more demand, not
yeah. Oh
less.
No! The problem has been you can't get enough. That's why Zuckerberg was such a genius by setting up a team that could meet with Jensen's team. CEO of NVIDIA and say, look, we're not going to stockpile the 350,000 chips. We got it. We just need it to make Instagram go fast. And we can talk about Google back to Anthropic and his chop at. And by the way, Anthropic is really, that's the one people are using now, the younger people. Yes, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The youngsters like Anthropic, huh?
Yeah, well, because I think it's more accurate.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, David's right. I mean, I've been researching power companies to see who's got the lowest power that's going to get the most data centers. And most of the data centers, by the way, they want them to run on solar or wind.
Right, solar or wind. And that's why I know incomings from countries that have access to a lot of solar and wind, conceivably where they can construct data centers, is seen as a new growth area.
As long as it's not in China.
Right, but all of which would seem to indicate at least that there's, at this point, just significant demand, future demand. Given everything that has yet to even be built, Jim,
forget what we're already
talking about. And every day we get into this conversation. On Friday, we were talking about Dell, which clearly had access, for example, to the NVIDIA chips way that HPE did not.
Michael Dell has a very special relationship with Jensen Huang. And he got not all he wanted, because he obviously wanted more, but he has such incredible demand. I have a company called Nextracker on today. They are saying that 25% of our electricity by the end of the decade is going to be solar, and about 25 wind. And it's really important because if you're going to do the data centers, they cannot run on fossil, because these guys are all just demons about what kind of power is used for the data centers. It's very important because our country is going to end up. Do you know that Sweden not that much sun there. They're going solar in part because they too want to get everyone. Remember, Jensen came out and said every country needs its own AI. So a lot of people feel in terms of the bubblicious talk, oh, that's just bubble talk. But when you speak to Jensen, he's saying, look, we can't be cultural renegades. There's something, the reason why it sells at 12 times earnings is, 12 times if you looked at it last year, is because the demand is insane. Not because he's hype artist, he's the opposite.
Yeah, no, the innovation's going to have to fit within a political framework.
Exactly.
A cultural framework. Speaking of Jensen Huang, did speak over the weekend at Stanford about AI and its ability, in his view, to pass, quote, human tests maybe in the next 5 years.
But it's interesting, David, we can get to the Musk lawsuit. You know, Musk says it's here now.
One year away.
So that Jensen's actually putting it off,
how good it is. Saying it can really do, in 5 years, we'll be able to do well in every single one. That's longer than some people may have anticipated.
I agree.
I referenced on Friday, the lawsuit from Elon Musk against OpenAI is just a nice read in terms of a quick history of AI.
Gary Kasparov.
If you want a quick history of AI.
It's great.
There is that. But 5 years seem to be a little bit longer, perhaps, than some might have anticipated
in terms of
being able to meet those kinds of
But it's rainy day Saturday.
Results.
Okay, so we're watching Traders because of Peacock. Traders, excellent, by the way, if you like reality shows.
Not sure what you're talking about, but that's
never
okay.
Mind. It's T-R-A-I-T-O. He doesn't know the zeitgeist of our current moment.
No, I don't.
But that's what people are watching Peacock.
This is a super survivor.
Are
you guys getting some sort of bonus for saying that, or is that
no? Actually, because all I did was watch Peacock. It was raining, but I will tell you that during one of the breaks, one of the rare breaks that we took, my youngest says to me, "Dad, I'm in the club, and you have held back the next NVIDIA from us." And I said, NVIDIA is it. He goes, no, I want another NVIDIA, and I want it now. And I said, I don't know, go make yourself a sandwich. I mean, there's everybody wants to win wherever I go. They give me a new next NVIDIA. I don't have a next NVIDIA. Yeah. NVIDIA is a working problem.
My NVIDIA, Michael Dell, what's the next NVIDIA?
NVIDIA.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Own it, don't trade.
Supermicro, not going to fit the bill.
Supermicro's that's a rack company, but some people say it's a server company.
Right.
Just go buy Dell. Dell is better. Supermicro's going to be
even Dell up 20% on Friday on the strength of those numbers?
I'm taking it to 170. The S&P is adding Supermicro to the list. Now, I have Supermicro on, and it was at 300, and then it was at 600 2 weeks later.
Right.
And I said to my kids, was Supermicro not good enough? They said, no.
It's too late, too long in the tooth.
It is a 10 bagger almost this year. That's not bad.
Goldman today initiates neutral 941.
I think that was a good call on the added to the S&P, taking out Whirlpool, by the way. Wow, is that just a slap
bigger,
in the
It's bigger than
face.
Three Dow names, is it not?
3M, well, the usual gang of idiots in terms of the ones that, I don't mean that, 3M Square. My father worked for 3M for himself.
Yeah, remember.
But my problem with the Supermicro is that this is just a supercharged NVIDIA, and it has been expensive levels, whereas if you look back in the old, then boom. I mean, look, this is, if you want the cheap ones, Broadcom reports later this week. That's one that is not juiced, and that's Hoctan.
And you think it's still in the center of this overall?
Yeah, it's Broadcom, it's Dell, it's maybe Marvell, which reports this week, depends upon optical. It's Lisa Su at AMD. It's Cadence.
That's all data center, right? That's all going and.
Well, it's data center, but also it's for Lisa, it's going to be this.
Well, oh right,
for Lisa's
right.
Lisa's got this one, and that's going to be talked about this week by the old Hewlett Packard,
right. Generative AI on your
PC. Yes. Enrico Lores has really not talked it up. I think let Lisa Su do it. But Lisa Su, this is very interesting. This is at their partners meeting. Lisa Su is by video. Jensen Huang's a person.
Meantime,
they got Jensen.
Yeah. Meantime, NVIDIA's CFO presents today at Morgan Stanley.
And Colette Kress is the best spokesperson. And by the way, she's the person who's on the call to get the Q&A. She's brilliant. Goldman Sachs partner. You know, there's a lot of diaspora there, Dave. But NVIDIA, when you go listen to them, the idea that they're a bubble, if you go back and look at the top 10 companies in 2000, they were all except for Cisco, we're the greatest in the world. Jensen is so self-effacing. And Colette Kress will talk it down. You want to go there and be a big talker about it? She has talked me down.
Yeah.
So, Jim, come on. Because I get a little too, I get a little chance to leather jack. Jensen, you put the silver hair. No, I'm not kidding. Jensen, that's a 59-year-old Denny's in the back seat. doing, he was a dishwasher Denny's for a while.
I know.
What do you mean, you know?
That's the great American success story. It is a great story. It was a great New Yorker piece on him.
That was an amazing piece. But there he made light of the fact of how far we are with AI, generative. And I brought it up with them saying, can you make light? Isn't it possible? I said, my partner, David, thinks that already many of us are not real. And I said, that was a joke. But Colette said, look, you know, and Ben Jensen said,
yet, come on, we're not there yet. I do share Elon Musk's concern for humanity,
Jensen says
without a doubt.
Try stopping it. He says you got to put the guardrails, but try stopping it.
Well, you're not going to be guardrails either. And the fact that all these other sovereigns are going to be developing their own, and you can't stop it.
Maybe your son's John Connor. I better hope so.
You can't.
Remember when Terminator 2, he tricked the vicious Terminator into admitting that Wolfie, remember his house, Wolfie the dog? I always thought that was a fantastic moment.
No fate. Yeah. Yes.
David's in that dooms. Let's go back to Equinix instead of it. Let's go to Equinox.
Well, I'll have Equinix. That'll be great when it's all, the end is here. At least we'll own that.
Maybe that'll end the SPACs.
That's what it took. There's a lot of news on Apple today. Down in the pre-market, the EU does fine the company nearly $2 billion, alleging it abused its market position for music streaming app distribution, stifling competition from rival services. Apple says it will appeal that, claiming the EU failed to, quote, uncover any credible evidence of consumer harm, although regulators say the 10-year conduct, Jim, may have elevated prices. Apple's going to appeal.
You know, look, I think that every 6 months they ask for a check from our big tech companies. I've spent a lot of time with them. By the way, our antitrust department's no better. These companies just view Apple as a honeypot, I think. But there are various stores that they have to do. There can be a workaround. But, David, I think that the negativity toward Apple has to do with the fact that people have had it with just the – I'm going to caution you. The Samsung phone at Best Buy is trading unbelievably hot because it's filled with 7 different features of AI. And the Apple 15 has very little AI.
This is now a company that a lot is going to be resting on their ability to deliver in June, at least, at the developers' conference.
Right, but that's September, new phone.
And then the new phone, the 16.
May not have all the AI.
Generative AI abilities are going to be embedded in that, what they can charge for them. There are those, though, who are absolutely still believers that Apple, even if they're not the first mover, is going to be the best mover, so to speak.
I think it will
and
be.
And that when it is in a billion phones, or at least available, that is going to be a, forget the use of the word, a tipping point for generative AI
use in a broader sense. Ben Reitzes has a fantastic piece.
I was just going to mention the Melius piece today.
You want to sell it now? You know, be my guest. You know, he didn't send an invitation to people's funeral. But
Ben's point is that if you sold too early Microsoft, if you sold too early Adobe, he pinpoints the moment on the chart where AI was rolled out.
Exactly right. And Ben was, I think he was on, what was it? He was on Fast Bunny last week. He was really fabulous. Ben is the star of the show here as far as I'm concerned, because he was the first one to say, you know, NVIDIA is not expensive before the run. And let's give this man the due. He's not falling for the notion of the bubble. He's saying that the valuations are good. And today's Apple piece versus, say, the tactical downgrade at Evercore was really about, if you sell the lull, you make a very big mistake. It's a really kind of intelligent position. Remember, we know about the Samsung phone from Corey Barry at Best Buy. And what is the hottest thing selling at Best Buy? You've doubted me on this.
The Ray-Bans from Meta.
Yeah, because the Ray-Bans look just like Ray-Bans, but you can actually do so many things with it that when they have AI and Ray-Bans, David, you're right. They can see right through people that don't think that matter.
What's the cost on those?
$170.
What's like a regular pair of Ray-Bans?
That's my point.
No, it's not. Come on, it's got all that other stuff embedded in it.
While you guys chatter, I'll go to BestBuy.com. Go ahead, David. Keep talking.
Really? I can keep talking?
Well, you can talk about how mankind is doomed. Keep going with that rap.
No, I'll
okay,
bits
just
and pieces
go to GOP-1. We haven't touched that at all.
But the other Melius point, though, Jim, is that Apple's going to have to prove to folks that China is not collapsing from within.
And that is so hard. I mean, it's like today we got a note about, hey, this, don't give up the ship for Starbucks. Now, this is a charitable trust position.
Is it the top pick over at Wells?
Wells, and it's not really related to China. It's more saying, look, that it's troughing. And I look at that and I say, okay, that's not bad. That's like, don't sell Disney at 80 when it's troughing. Don't sell Apple. It might be troughing. David, troughing is the new troughing. AI.
Troughing, baby. I know. Listen, people are talking about what it trades at 23 times 26 numbers. That's not, I mean, again, that's a ways out, but I'm just looking at some notes here from some Apple bulls that I had a conversation with late last week.
Oh, this is different from the weekend?
No.
Boring people?
Yeah, this is different than the data center conversations all weekend.
Okay,
the Ray-Bans. Build an ecosystem around generative AI with the App Store. You know, it just, you a lot of it comes from the edge, by the way. So it's Dell servers at the AI servers at the edge, not in the data center itself that can send things to the phone. Right. It could be a very important moment.
Okay.
But it's still on the come, Jim, and we don't know.
The
Ray-Bans
right
now
are $300, but I'm telling you that's not
the
real price.
No, of course they have to cost more.
That's the list price.
They have to cost more,
Jim. That's the list price, for heaven's sake. You pay that price, you're a sucker.
I'm right. You're wrong.
He's like, you know, that's what people, well-off people, they look at that price and they say, oh, that's the price.
$300.
How about Vertiv here?
By the way, that's not a bad price.
I left Vertiv out.
They're not
that's
the same as your
way.
Typical Ray-Bans.
You don't want to do Equinix, you do Vertiv. That's cheaper.
Completely ignores it.
I have to. You're just so negative. Go be with your friends, your data
your
friends.
Your weekend server friends, the server farm friends. We'll take a break, take a look at the pre-market. A lot of calls to get to this morning. Busy on the sell side. Norfolk Southern, Bros, Disney, Lilly, Dash, and Lyft. Futures under a little pressure coming off of a solid week last week. Back in a moment. Ford out with some auto sales numbers for February. Let's get to our Phil LeBeau this morning. Hey, Phil.
Hey, Carl. These are numbers up 10.5% last month for Ford, comparing February sales of this year with February of 2023. EV sales up more than 80%. But remember, the EV production had been shut down for a time at the beginning of last year. So you're having a comparison here against lumpy production in early 23. Hybrid sales, no surprise here, up more than 31% compared to last year. Hybrids, they've been red hot, and it's been a big hit with Ford truck buyers. They are going to be increasing, doubling their mix of F-150 hybrids. Last year, about 10 or 11% of the F-150s that were sold were gas electric hybrid versions. This year, they expect it to be closer to 20 or 22%. Not a surprise, guys, because you're looking at demand that is very strong. First of all, you got the best-selling vehicle, and you have demand for hybrids very strong. Ford wisely doubling the hybrid mix for the F-150. Guys, back to you.
Phil, the gross margins on those are extraordinary, correct?
I'm sorry, what part, Jim?
The gross margins on what he's doing. Those are the ones, the hybrids have the best gross margins because they're the ones he's got down, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And look, that market, Jim, it is not slowing down. I was just having a conversation. You know, I got into New York this morning, and as I walked into the NASDAQ this morning, the person who was stopping me wanted to talk about buying a hybrid. And I said, well, you know, it's great. And, you know, and they were like, that's all I'm doing. And that is the conversation I have 8 out of 10 times when somebody stops to ask me about vehicles.
I have the Maverick. It was $36,000. And it's unbelievable hybrid. And I don't even know how when I say he, I meant Farley makes money. But the fact is Ford makes these better than I think, than anyone. And the small, medium-sized business people just love it, correct?
Right, because when you look at the hybrid market, for the most part, you're looking at smaller vehicles, smaller sedans, or crossover utility vehicles, or SUVs. Within the pickup truck market, Ford is leveraging its strength in pickups, whether it's midsize with something like the Ranger or full-size with the F-150. They are wisely taking that strength and then using the fact that everybody, you know, I say everybody, a large chunk of the buyers want hybrids right now. And that's why they're going to be doubling the mix on the F-150.
Hey, Phil, elsewhere on your beat, there's China Tesla news, an American Investor Day, there's a JetBlue save.
When it rains,
don't forget
it pours.
Boeing's buying Spirit this week, right, Phil, for stock?
Busy, busy week here, Phil.
It will be. Hey, by the way, when it comes to American, don't forget that we have an exclusive with Robert Isom coming up on Money Movers. We'll be talking with him about their outlook as they look into 2024 and beyond. This is a company that, guys, 3 years ago, the debt level was so high on American. And people were saying, what are you doing? A pandemic obviously had an impact here. Robert Isom's done a very nice job. Him and his team have done a very nice job of steadily bringing down the debt level. Now, they still got a ways to go. They're nowhere close to their competitors, but that's been a focus, and they've been very effective about utilizing greater utilization of their two biggest hubs in the U.S. when you're talking about Dallas as well as Charlotte.
Hey, Phil, State of the Union this week. At what point does President Biden have to declare that he's with the unions? We don't let the Chinese cheap, a Volvo kind of at China in drag, so to speak. We don't let that in. Or do we favor ESG and going all electric, including having the Chinese cars in? I mean, isn't this like the push comes to shove issue, ESG versus unions?
Well, I'll tell you this much. Look, he's probably going to make some kind of comment regarding EVs and the push for EVs, although we know that that decision regarding CAFE standards, that's coming out within the next several weeks. The bigger question is, what is going to be done with regard to Chinese vehicles? You guys saw me in Chile. I am not kidding. The people down there are like buyers anywhere. You give them a chance, any buyers anywhere, I don't care if it's the U.S., Chile, Europe, Asia, you give them a chance to buy a comparable vehicle for $4,000 or $6,000 less than what they would have to pay with another brand, they will go with the cheaper brand. And I know people will sit there and say, well, you sell cheap, you get cheap. The quality is much better. They just have a cost advantage that's going to have to be addressed in Washington at some point when the Chinese decide that they are going to sell or try to sell here in the United States.
The Chilean reporting, Phil, it opened my eyes. If they know it, I mean, it doesn't matter what part. You're absolutely right. That was the nature of the piece. I've been thinking a lot about that was it doesn't matter where you go. The Chinese will win unless you keep them out.
Right. And then that becomes a question, Jim. If they set up manufacturing in Mexico, then you've got a whole sticky wicket in terms of saying we're going to not allow in Chinese vehicles, but we will allow in BMWs or Nissans built in Mexico.
Phil, talk soon later on this morning. Our Phil LeBeau. Kramer's Mad Dash and the opening bell coming up. Take another look at futures. We're back in a moment.
Welcome back, everybody. We got an opening bell about a minute and a half. Let's squeeze in a Mad Dash. Yeah. Talk a little Dollar Tree.
Yeah. David, yeah, we have the evidence lab, by the way, they're talking about one-on-one positively from UBS.
Yes, the evidence lab from UBS. We enjoy them.
But Wells Fargo has Signature Research.
Oh, they have Signature.
Which has nothing to do with Signature Bank. But they recommend Dollar Tree today. Well, believe it or not, an SOTP, which you introduced me to,
some
of the parts. Bullish, just saying, look, if you got rid of Family Dollar, the stock could trade higher. That's how under pressure it is. David, I also bring it up because Dollar Tree sells at 24 times earnings. So it's more expensive than NVIDIA.
It is.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Do they really think it's possible to actually realize a sum of the parts? Because
no,
it's one thing to say something is worth more than it's trading for. It's another actually to realize that.
I think you're totally right. But they can get rid of all the bad Family Dollars. Now, I happen to be a Dollar Tree fan. I went right by my Dollar General this weekend because it's just not functional. They don't have enough inventory. Whereas my Dollar Tree is chock full.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, you get the Peeps and stuff. Peeps, you know what a Peep is?
Don't spend a lot of time.
Do you know what a Peep is?
A Peep? Yeah, I do know what a Peep
what is.
It's that thing. It's that candy. They sell them very
you know
nice.
What?
Yeah. Like they have little Easter ones,
I
right?
I should never second guess you. That whole data thing was just, that was a scream. You're more pop culture than I realize.
Thank you.
Let's get the opening bell here in the CNBC Real-Time Exchange. And the big board, steel producer Metallus, celebrating its name and ticker change. At the NASDAQ, healthcare solutions company TrueBridge also celebrating a name and a ticker change.
Wow. Okay. I happen to like the steel stocks very much, but that's because of the IRA. Boy, the IRA spending is really starting to come in. And what I'm shocked at is it's taken so long, but this is the year, and the steel companies, steel's up 70%. We have tariffs on steel. And it's just been one of the great areas of the economy into a Fed tightening and out of a Fed tightening cycle, which is the first time it's ever happened.
Yeah, the manufacturing construction, that leads back to NVIDIA to a large degree.
Yeah,
and all
yes.
semis.
Look, I know every time we talk about NVIDIA, I know people are going to get suspicious. So let's put Dell. Let's put AMD. I want it to be a little more well-rounded, but NVIDIA is the leader just because he had a vision of which, candidly, remember, no one adopted his vision until ChatGPT-3. Yeah, look, Chat, which is at the heart of the lawsuit, brought to the fore how great it could be, but it's really NVIDIA's chips. But I do want to spend a little more time on the Equinox versus the Equinix, because I think that's going to move stocks. got a lot of stuff that's very positive, again, about Elon. Again. And a lot of it, you know, there was a Lancet piece that came out last week. And the Lancet piece said that they thought there were 820 million people who are obese in the planet, but there's a billion. And the only way to really control obesity is not diet and exercise. People don't have the willpower. It's diet, exercise, and GLP. And if you don't do diet, if you don't do exercise, by the way, you're so frail, unless you get the protein shakes by Abbott, which is another great thing, that Abbott's got a protein shake.
Jim's referring to an ad by Equinox, the gym,
right,
which folds in GLP-1s as part of the pitch.
Regimen,
to some degree. By the way, UBS goes Lilly 8:10 to 9:10.
Yes, that was a very good piece.
The ad. We've talked any number of times about the fact that you do lose muscle mass on these GLP-1s.
Right, and they're shots, not pills.
Particularly for an elderly population where it's, you know, you want to keep as much as you
right.
can.
Right, and that's why Abbott's taking advantage of it. Because
but, yeah, you see
a
chain of gyms and the like advertising saying, incorporate us into your overall usage. So
well, I mean, look, theoretically it makes sense. I mean, they talked about getting payer coverage. The payers are starting to get very stingy, starting to do a lot of denying. And that's a problem because these are the comorbidity issues. We learned that during the pandemic, that obesity is comorbidity and diabetes. This is the people who die.
You saw the Goldman piece over the weekend. If 60% who need the drug take it and it's 90% effective, GDP up 1%.
Yeah, you know, those are the kinds of things that happen. I remember a piece that recommended American Airlines because the planes would be lighter from GLP. I mean, we can go anywhere we want with this.
I'm
not kidding.
I
saw it.
I know.
Every pound counts.
That was like, planes
are
lighter.
I said sell GoPro because I was in Japan and I saw a goat with a GoPro on a surfboard. I said, that's it, 96, enough. So let's be careful. That was the height of the airlines hold to buy GLP. That was the dumbest.
That was right.
That was a dumb call.
It hasn't stopped Lilly, though. I mean, if you'd sold then, it would have been a bad sale.
Lilly has
even if you thought that was the top.
They have the factories and the cost of fortune. These are like foundries. They're very hard to make. They've got two in North Carolina.
Well, that's why Novo went. Remember, they did that big deal in part to buy control of those.
I know.
More manufacturing.
And then we have a piece about Viking on CNBC.com, which is worth reading, although I just think Viking is far nowhere unless they get a takeover bid. That's what we posited, but they just did a second. They just did an equity offering.
Viking, though, shares were up well over 100% on the strength of the phase two trials
phase
for
two,
their GLP-1.
Which is way too early. And the FDA historically doesn't like Me Too drugs coming in from companies that don't have pedigree. The FDA is just like us. I mean, they're not sitting here saying, oh, Viking, let's help those guys so we can get get them to do banking. I mean, the FDA is just saying, listen, Louis got it. Louis got the Zepbound, and people are not getting sick, even though there's like 42 different things that could go wrong. No, who knows about these guys? By the way, Viking Cruise Lines is coming public. Viking versus Viking, David.
Versus Viking, yeah.
Yeah, like Royal Caribbean?
Oh, yeah, love it. Yeah, it's great.
You like the 13th row down, the 13th deck?
Are there 13 decks? Are there that many?
I don't know. Where's DiCaprio? What deck was he on?
Steerage.
Steerage.
Yes, third class.
Steerage.
Yes.
I was just trying to find my notes here.
Yeah, what are you looking for?
No, I'm looking at Tesla shares because they are down another
3%.
We mentioned
Tesla.
It, obviously, but shipments from its factory in Shanghai, 22. Lowest level in more than a year. A lot of stories of late about the strength of Chinese
BYD
automakers, and obviously EV is a large portion of that. Stories about how they're going to be flooding the market in markets that will take them around the world because, of course, the Chinese economy is weak. You do not have the level of domestic consumption that would be there to actually buy all of these automobiles.
So this is the pivot.
Many of them are subsidized companies to a certain extent. That'll be an argument, of course, that takes place when you want to put even more tariffs on these things potentially. But they're going to be everywhere, maybe not in the U.S., but, you know, Phil last week was in Chile. That was a great story, just showing the strength of these Chinese brands in these markets. And then you obviously have the advances that are being made by these Chinese automakers. Again,
they're
a separate Wall Street Journal story, some good stories there, just how quickly they're moving.
I know.
And then Bernstein, I know you love Tony Saccone.
Are you going to do that to me?
But the Journal added, BYD launches a new product.
BYD
makes it seem effortless. Why is launching a new product for Tesla appear to take forever?
No, look, if you're going to subsidize, they win. Remember, they're done subsidizing real estate. That turned out to be a bust. But they put out some bogus numbers about their GDP growth. Good luck. And then the premier, the first time since, what, the 90s? The premier's not speaking about the plan?
They canceled the press briefing.
Well, that's positive.
For not just this year. It's going to happen. It's going to be the case for apparently the next few, at least.
They have more debt than we have. Can you imagine? And I believe, by the way, I just want to say on the
they
record.
They have more, their debt to GDP.
Debt to GDP
ratio is higher than
us. That's absolutely right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
But I will point out, just so people know, I still believe that the rally, I first thought the rally in Bitcoin was because of the ETF. I just think people are just saying, you know what, I don't trust these fiat currencies. So let's just be as a hedge, a diversification hedge.
Including our own?
Yes.
With our 36 trillion.
I think the younger people believe that there's no way that we can ever make good other than to inflate to make it so we're paying with cheaper dollars debt that was taken.
We've pointed out many times interest costs have moved up dramatically in terms of an overall overall pull on on the U.S. budget, one of the largest now.
And Bitcoin's as good as natural gas has been. Natural gas is the lowest this century on inflation adjusted.
Now EQT cutting some production on these low prices.
That's a good company.
Even crude today, or at least earlier, OPEC Plus extending some of the voluntary cuts to mid-year.
They can't. You know, we're producing 13.3. We're going to go up to 13.5. If I am so tired of reading the stories which say we're done growing production. All these mergers, David, are about the production. Both, of course, where you went to Guyana, but also because there's just so much oil in the Permian, and we need to have more, let's just say, there has to be a rationalization.
Meaning what?
There's these companies that have to get rid of their overhead in order to be able to just drill more. I mean, I have Cotero tonight. They've got a plan to shift out of Marcellus into Permian. They add one or two rigs. You don't need to add that many rigs, but there is so much oil in the Permian that it's just you can't get it all out.
I'm forgetting the name of the private company. It had a great backstory with the guy.
Diamondback bought?
Diamondback bought,
that's a fantastic company. You cut me to the quick.
You're not remembering it. You're not recalling either, I know. Great backstory on the founder.
That chart's ahead
the Journal
shoulders.
Did a great piece on it. But now that was a large deal, but obviously private, so we didn't focus on it.
I have to go into the Google box. I apologize.
Go to the Google box. Or maybe just do generative AI with your computer there. Just say, what was that deal?
It's read my mind and it couldn't come up with it.
Yeah. Our people on Twitter always help us with that, too. Sorry to throw that out there.
Speaking of deals, Jim, we mentioned JetBlue Save.
Yes.
How about the investor group with Macy's? Going from 21 to 24.
All right, so now,
I want to hear what your thoughts are, but I'll have...
It's Endeavor and Endeavor, both in takeover talks.
I got a couple.
Okay, here's my thought on Macy's. If you really want to go back to where they were in 2021, where they had about $7 billion in debt, you're going to wreck the company. You know, Shefkin has spent his almost entire regime getting the debt down after what they had to do because of the pandemic.
But if you're Macy's board of directors, Jim, and somebody's offering you $24, it is a real estate play. $24, why wouldn't you take it?
I know. And
we should back up a little bit here.
Did you read that great article about Tony Spring, what he's trying to do?
Yeah, I'm aware.
I know. I'm being I'm a sentimentalist. You're right.
We're talking now about a raised bid from this group of financial buyers led by Ark House that wants to buy Macy's. Their bid is $24 a share. There's been a lot of questions about their financing sources, for example, as you might expect. But they certainly they're going to some lengths here to try to reassure the market. This is a paragraph pulled out from the press release that was released yesterday. We have identified large global institutional financing sources for each debt component of the transaction with strong interest in finalizing commitments during a customary diligence process. They say that represents 100% of the capital required to buy what they don't already own at the $24 a share bid price. They do own derivatives. We're not quite sure how much.
No.
They are in partnership with Brigade Capital Management as well. They say that they've got Fortress and 1IM as potential equity investors as well.
I want to hear what she
And listen, they've got serious advisors. I mean, Jefferies is on the investment bank side. Paul Weiss is advising on the M&A side from the law law firm side of things. So I don't want to dismiss them at all at this point.
No.
Today they're having a dinner tonight at the pool room, if you want to go, for like 50 risk arbs to try to convince them that they're serious.
Well,
So you'll hear the pitch from management from Arkas as to why they perhaps are serious here.
Okay,
but they're trying to convince the investor base, obviously, here that they are, trying to put pressure on Macy's management, which has previously said no thank you. And to your point, it is a real estate play. There is a question, of course, if rates are going to come down, why wouldn't you just wait?
Well,
because
okay.
that would seem to enhance right. the ability to potentially realize some value for these real estate assets.
You know, Terry Longreen came out this weekend and said, we already tried to do this. It didn't work.
Yes.
Tony Spring, fabulous article about it. He's the new CEO, about how he's going to basically Bloomingdale-ize this chain by closing the bad Macy's and put more Bloomies up and put more Blue Mercury. But I think that he hurt his case by saying, listen, it's going to take a little bit.
Yeah.
Because what you really need to be able to say is I can get to 24. I can get to 26 in 2 years versus your 24 now. That gives the board a little more of leeway.
Yeah, well, why not
reject.
Sold to you at 24? Here you go, Arkhouse.
Oh, but he started go. About 6 weeks ago.
Do your best.
Well, because, you know.
Arkhouse, Draft House, whatever. Make a movie theater chain. I don't care.
Waffle
don't
take House. It. Okay.
Waffle House.
Waffle House.
Arkhouse, Draft House. Arkhouse, Draft House, Waffle House. I like
okay.
that. I like that.
Nashville, Huntsville, and Asheville. Those are the three hottest stock cities in the country.
Not Bentonville? Or Jacksonville?
No, not. Right. In North
Charlottesville?
North Charlottesville's
pretty good.
We haven't mentioned on that front, Vista Outdoor Gym rejecting URI with a little billion-dollar deal.
Yeah.
We're going to hear from Kroger's earnings next week.
Or Vista Outdoor rejected with, but it wasn't unanimous. And there's a real question
does
on that
have,
deal.
Outdoor's done everything.
MNC was rejected, 35.
They've done everything they can to change that company from being like
they're going to need Ziphius for the current deal they have, though, because it's a foreign buyer.
Yeah,
there are
like
a number
that?
Of, J.D. Vance has come out and said, what are you doing here?
This has done a good job. They're a good company.
We'll see how long it takes for them to
steal them.
Get that Ziphius. That's a national security review. And again, it is notable when you don't have the unanimous vote of the board to reject. Obviously, MNC is hoping there's going to be something for them to do at some point along the way there. They make ammunition.
Well, they know they do so much more than that. That's the, that's the negative rap, David. That's why I had them on, because they do so much more than ammo.
They do?
Oh, they got all sorts of stuff for when you want to hike. They've got really great hiking stuff. They're not just an ammo company.
They're not.
No.
Isn't ammo the main part of the
company?
They're
not. They're sporting goods.
The hiking stuff?
They're sporting goods. Think Cabela, okay? Ski,
so
bike. They have the best.
They'll give you the hiking stuff so that you can hike.
Helmets are.
When you need
best
the gun,
helmets.
Then you can shoot the thing, whatever it is you're hunting.
Yeah, just, they do have shotgun shells. That's the rap against them, okay?
That's
the rap against
them. That's what they do. But why they should be sold to a, I think it's a Czech, is it a Czech?
Because they're cycling, company. Have you ever been to Cabela's? Stay away from the gun library, my friend.
I've been there once.
You'll come out with a 12 gauge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
You know, come the apocalypse, you think you'd at least have a couple.
I've done some training.
You ever use a Tommy gun?
Excuse me?
A Tommy gun.
A Tommy gun,
yeah,
no.
I used a Tommy gun about 6 months ago. It's really kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you in Vegas?
I was doing ski.
What are you? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Were you wearing a. Like a suit like you were Al Capone too, or what?
No, I was wearing
a copper.
I'm going to get in trouble by saying this, but I like to shoot skeet. I have not.
Nice.
Not.
You don't use Tommy guns to shoot skeet.
No, but that's kind of a turn on, frankly, it was. To have an actual Tommy gun, I mean, with the circular thing and just like blasting the skeet from every side.
Yeah,
shoot.
That's not really sport as much as having a.
David, it's plastic things. It's not like. I'm not taking a family of deer out, Thumper.
We need the deer population reduced.
All right, I'll take it. Oh, I can take out a family of deer in a second.
They're very menace.
Jim, really quick, in media today, we're going to get Netflix presenting Disney, Morgan Stanley, 135.
Did you read that? Experiential.
And Dune 2, best debut of the year.
I mean, everyone says I got to go watch Dune 1. I guess so. I mean,
I watched Dune 2. I didn't watch Dune 1.
We went back and rewatched Dune 1 to get ready for
this. I'm told you have to watch Traitor 1 if you're going to get into Traitor 3. Dave, that's from Peacock.
Traitor.
Reality
channel. TAAITOR.
He doesn't
I don't know if our audience heard. It's on. Well, what network is that on? What streaming service is that available
There's
on?
There's a Peacock in season 1.
Oh, Peacock.
One,
thank you.
Actually in the Scottish
Castle. This is
Scottish
a beautiful
castle.
Movie, I have to say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have a clue what the heck was going on, but it was beautiful.
On Disney, the bull case in Morgan Stanley Gym is 165, and a lot of that's about profitability and streaming down the road,
look,
they say.
Well, this is their chance. I really feel that they have to do something because, remember, I know that Nelson Peltz, stalking horse for Ike's Perlmutter, but the heat on these guys is pretty heavy. A lot of heat.
Who? What? Which heat? Heat on who? On the board?
On Iger and his team.
Oh, yeah. Right.
No?
I don't know. We'll see. They're going to, you know, listen, between now and the vote, roughly a month from now, they're going to be spending a lot of time with ISS and Glass Lewis
right.
and investors.
Right.
At the very least, it's a big distraction for management.
Okay, so why is there a big X? Oh, man.
They were very
big
happy they got
healthcare.
The support of all the heirs last week. You saw
yeah,
that.
Well, they have like, I have like more.
Disney
my child trust has more shares than they have.
Great-grandnieces, grandparent, great-grand.
Why are they taking it to the drugs again? I mean, it's just such an inconsistent market. There's no room for both drugs and at the same time, data centers, as David said. I thought David was going to come in with a big rap on private credit, but I guess I'd say after the Blackstone dinner, you're coming in private. No?
What would you like private to know credit. About private credit?
No, I'm saying that I thought you might have been with a bunch of private credit people
well,
this weekend.
Private credit people can overlap with other types of people, sure. It's all within the alternative asset management family. The alternative asset managers are undercovered, to say the least.
Well,
I
that's
believe.
One of the things that I'm trying to get David to do. I want a doc on private credit.
I can't do a doc on private credit.
Why not?
Because there's nothing to show.
What would you look at?
What would you look at?
Money?
Yeah, yeah people with bags on their heads or
show. Nothing.
Black
it's a visual medium. I don't know if you heard.
Do you know BREIT was able to?
BREIT had 100% of the 100% of the redemptions. Yeah,
Blackstone. I think that was terrific. We, you know, we knock them when they're down. Why not like say something good when they're up?
Well, I was going to on Friday, but it was you and me, and you just talked too much.
What can I say? He's right.
Guilty.
He's right.
As we go to break, let's watch bonds today. The data flow doesn't really start until tomorrow, but we will get Harker at 11 before we dive in tomorrow with ISM services, factory orders, durables. It'll be a busy week on that front. For now, off of the initial lows, S&P 5133. Don't go anywhere. Take a look at some NASDAQ 100 laggards this morning. You see Workday at the top of the list. Tesla, we mentioned earlier. Warner Brothers Discovery below 825 would once again take you back to 2009 or so. Google also with some declines of about 3%. Dow's down 74. Stop Trading with Jim's coming up next. It's time for Jim and Stop Trading.
One of the most exciting stocks, perhaps one of the greatest stocks of the year we don't talk about much, is Ferrari. Symbol race. And this thing has just been one of the great rocket ships. This morning, Citi comes out and says, listen, hold to sell. We just can't take this valuation anymore. And I get it because it sells at a very big multiple sales, 12 times. I mean, it is. It's just 12 times. It's too hard. It's 12 times sales. And I would say this, that it is part of the Mag 7 of Europe. You know, LVMH, there's a bunch of them that are good, Novo Nordisk, but I would not short this thing. I think that's this guy even admits that he could be wrong in our timing, but this is one of the great stories of the auto industry, which is just, this is the premium greatest manufacturer.
Its market value is twice that of Ford's.
Well, it's better, yeah.
Yeah.
What is that, you know?
I'm just pointing it out.
Two-year backlog. One of Jonas's longtime top picks.
Hey,
over
by the
Morgan
way, Eddie Q on the board there.
Eddie Q's on the big, board of race.
Yeah, he's a very big car fan. I know my wife loves to drive cars.
The works of art. The margins are probably, it's like every luxury good. The margins are amazing, aren't they?
Well, they build them, and there is a waiting list. I mean, Lamborghini, big waiting list. These are just premium cars in a world where there's just a lot of rich people. As David described, because he hangs out with those people.
I'm at Dollar Tree.
He's at Data Center.
You're at the Dollar Tree. He's at the Ferrari dealership.
I'm in the candy aisle. You're in the Ferrari aisle.
Yeah, no, I am. It's true. Yeah, Ferrari.
You ought to step up your clothes, man.
Start wearing the gear, the merch. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I was reading that.
Want me to come in my Ferrari racing suit? Because I'll do that if you'd like.
Well, a lot of Bitcoiners that wear... It made me feel bad. I was reading a book this weekend about that.
What are you muttering?
Number go up. I'm reading this book. Right now I'm in the NFT section because I'm trying to learn Bitcoin. Like everyone trying to learn Bitcoin. Relearn because I thought a lot of this was the ETF. I admit that. And then it broke down. And then it's been off to the races ever since. And there's a lot of people who just believe because, again, it's
Bitcoin
a diversification.
Bitcoin is up sharply
and
again
I think there'll
today.
Be an Ethereum LTF. You
know, as is
MicroStrategy. Ethereum ETF. And then you're going to have to go buy that one and just get ready. Okay.
Yeah, 68,990 is the magic number.
I think it's unbelievable.
The highs. How about tonight?
I have next year. I have this next tracker, which is they make it so that the the solar panels move so you can get, you always capture solar at a cheaper price, software. And then Tom Jordan, who I think is, frankly, the most thoughtful man about oil and oil versus natural gas. He's really cutting back Marcellus, going all in oil, and he's doing incredibly well, and it yields well, and it's just the stock to buy.
That's good. Busy week ahead.
Yes, an exciting week. And don't forget, State of the Union. We're going to hear something on unions, something on ESG.
Okay.
All right.
Say so. Sure.
Yeah, no, I am.
Okay.
I am saying something.
Got it.
Mad Money, 6 p.m.
So we'll see you at the private credit dinner.
Yes, private credit.
S&P down about 4. Don't go anywhere. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.